Welcome, everyone, to THP Radio. I'm your host, JB, and today we have a new episode of The Dean Has Spoken. This show is co-hosted by none other than THP staff writer extraordinaire Dean, and he can be found on the THP forum as well on Twitter, at Dean of THP. Welcome.
Hi, Josh. Excited to be here. It's a pretty big week, isn't it?
It really is. The Dean Has Spoken is a new twist on your on-demand audio in the world of golf. We'll be discussing equipment, tour golf, the industry happenings, and anything else that strikes our fancy, with the key here being that the Dean of THP will always have the final word. Normally, the way the show works is pretty easy with 5 topics and 10 arguments, but this is a special edition. Masters preview. Spring is here. Are you ready to get this thing started?
I am ready. Let's do this.
Before we jump into our preview and everything, you know, this is a tournament that's based on history. Back in 1934, the Augusta Invitational. Can you give us kind of a breakdown on why this one is so different?
To me, this one's so different because it's played at the same course every year. You know, we see the guys hit the shots out there on tour today, and we can see the highlights going back to, you know, the guys of Byron Nelson and Jimmy DeMeritt going back, and Claude Harmon, Sam Snead. You know, that's not even all. I mean, Sam Snead's a big name, but these aren't even the hugest names in golf, and we're already looking back to them playing the shots at Augusta National.
You're exactly right, and, you know, like you said, it's the one major that's played on the same course every year. So when history is made on a hole, or a fantastic shot is created on a hole and captured, you can relate it back to decades prior and eras of bygone that the same golf was played. And yes, there's been some changes, and yes, there's been some lengthening and things like that, but the course, remarkably, has still kind of stayed true to its character.
Yeah, it really has. I can't remember which golf publication it was last year that did it, but they showed the breakdown of changes from the original, you know, setup for the course over the years throughout the different changes. And it was remarkable how a lot of it still looks the same. Like you say, yes, there's been lengthened, some bunkers have moved, some water, you know, repositioned, but it's still the same Augusta National.
I did hear one interesting thing in the last couple of days, that the first ever tournament, the nines were reversed. I did not know that. And that was kind of an interesting thing. But speaking of history, you know, I look at the Masters and I kind of break it down by, you know, generations. You know, going back to really starting in the 60s when, you know, you had the big three. What are some of the generational and decade kind of gaps that you've seen and that really stand out to you?
You know, this first one, it's why I know that, you know, it's way before my time, but this is one my father used to tell me about coming up. You know, when I was growing up and learning about the Masters and golf in general, and he used to talk about guys like Sam Snead and Jimmy DeMeritt. So if we go back to the late 40s, we're going to go 49. This span's going to go from 49 to 54. All right, so you have Sam Snead, then Jimmy DeMeritt. That's his third and
final
one. I'll
be honest here and say you weren't really even a thought at that point.
No, I really wasn't. And then you have Hogan, Snead. In a row. I mean, those are the who's who of golf back in that generation. And what are they doing? They're winning the Masters and putting on green jackets.
Yeah, I believe it was Snead 1-3, Hogan 1-2, and Jimmy DeMeritt 1 again, correct?
Correct.
Then jump forward all the way to the 60s, and you had Jack, Arnie, and Gary. And yeah, it was like a decade of, you know, just greatness.
Yeah, it was just those guys putting the jacket on each other. You know, it went Arnie and then Gary Player and then Arnie again back to Jack and Arnie and Jack and Jack. I mean, these guys were just so good. They were at the top of their game. And you listen to them now in the press conferences, or, you know, now Jack and Arnie and Gary, well, Arnie not this year, you know, they hit that ceremonial first tee shot. They talk about how special it was to slip on their green jacket.
Yeah, and then, you know, we jump from there. You could say the 80s, although I think that was if you look at a pure generational kind of thing, it was not really – it's more known for Greg Norman than, you know, some of the greatness. And then you go right into the 90s with Tiger.
Yeah, poor Greg Norman. I mean, he could easily have had probably 4 of these green jackets. It just didn't happen for him. You know, Nick Faldo won 2, you know, in 89 and 90 back to back. You know, he was the only one to do that before Tiger Woods, at least in this, you know, modern era of golf. You know, he did win one in 96 too, so that was his third one. And then, like you say, it became the Tiger era, and then Tiger and Phil. I mean, Phil, if he wins this week, he'll have four. So him and Tiger would have a combined eight. Right now they have a combined seven green jackets. That's pretty remarkable.
It really is. And you could make the case that Phil may have had one, maybe even two others with you know, some unique bounces happening here and there. But we are in the modern age here. We have a defending champion in Jordan Spieth, who was something special last year, would be a mild way of putting it. So before we jump into the players playing this year, I want to talk a little bit about the real star of the show, which, as we've alluded to, is the course. Favorite hole at Augusta?
My favorite hole at Augusta is number 11, White Dogwood. That long par four, you hit out of a chute. You have to play a kind of a fade around that corner and then really have to play a little bit of a draw into that green. And there's a little pond in front, and you have Race Creek in the back. So you can't miss it long, really too long, and you can't miss it short left. There's been a lot of drama on that hole over the years. It's one of my favorites, and I think it's one of the most picturesque holes on the course.
It's got one of my favorite moments in Masters history at 11, and I would have normally taken that had you not said that. But I'm going to go with number 13, Azalea. Another one of my favorite moments in Masters history was there. There's just something about the look of that hole when it comes on TV, or when I've walked the course, that just says, man, this is what it's all about.
Yeah, it is. You know, it sits right at the bottom part of the course. So, you know, if for anybody who hasn't gone there, or for those who have, you know what I'm talking about. You walk through the gates and you really sit up on top of the hill behind the clubhouse. And then the entire course lays out, you know, down the hill below you. You can see over through a lot of it. To get down to where Amen Corner is, that 11, 12, and 13, you're really going to the lowest and farthest point away from the clubhouse. So it takes a while to get there, but the walk is definitely worth it, because those holes, that stretch of land, is just absolutely gorgeous.
It's funny that you mentioned, you know, the terrain, because while it's known on TV, that's the one thing that's missing. And you don't really see the steep slopes on TV, and HD has brought that in a little bit, but you don't really notice it as much as when you're there and how drastic they are. Before I go on, I want to mention that for DirecTV subscribers, if you own a 4K set, this is your year. They do have the Masters in 4K, first time ever. First time ever for a major sporting event in 4K, I believe. And that's going to be pretty cool. I don't have a 4K TV. I have multiple HD TVs, and we'll have a nice setup here at the office. But I thought that was pretty neat news that we heard.
Yeah, that is pretty neat. And if I remember right, Augusta was one of the first ones, or the Masters, I should say, was one of the first ones to broadcast in 3D. For sports, so that, you know, that probably helped see those slopes. Like you say, you don't see it. It's hard to, you know, fathom them and see them on TV, especially if you're going back in standard definition. High definition helps. The 3D helped a little bit, and now the 4K, I can't imagine how good that's going to look.
The 3D, we do have a 3D set. In the first year, you know, I had the goggles or the glasses on, and I'm watching it. I feel like I have goggles on now. I was watching the coverage, and the coolest part about the 3D coverage was not the actual golf. I know people kind of looked at it and said, oh, it's going to be like the ball's coming at me, and that's not really what it was. It was as they walk through the course and under the trees and through the terrain, you felt like you were there. However, after about an hour, you felt sick.
Yeah, you know, I never caught on to 3D TV. I didn't like the idea of wearing the goggles, as you call them. It just wasn't a good look for me.
It's an interesting point of view. Speaking of goggles,
that's what it's all about.
A call out to my friend at TaylorMade Golf, Jory Mendez, as I'm sipping on this old fashioned as we discuss the Masters.
Fresca has been booted.
Fresca was booted last week. As we go on, we've talked about the course, and we'll continue to, because it's that special. Before we get into the players, I want to talk about some of our favorite shots that have ever been hit at Augusta. We were talking about them before we jumped on the air. What is your favorite moment or shot that you've had at the Masters, I guess would be the easiest way to say it?
The shot that I keep coming back to, and it's a great shot, and it's set up even better by the time and the tournament that it was, and that's Tiger's chip-in shot on 16. You know, he was tied with Chris DeMarco. DeMarco teed off and had about 12 or 15 foot putt for birdie to take the lead. Tiger misses long and left. If for him to use the slope the way he did and the ball to, you know, pretty much stop on the lip, you see the swoosh fall in. That to me is just one of the greatest shots in Masters history, and it's the one that I immediately think of when I think of the Masters.
I knew you'd go Tiger on me. I just knew it. My favorite moment, I have a few. There's actually three. My favorite moment not involving a shot is Phil doing the jump, because it reminded me of my hang time. You know, that was pretty cool. But my favorite shot that I remember is, I remember it like it was yesterday too, and that's what the Masters does to you. I was in eighth grade. It was 1987. I'm dating myself here. Larry Mize misses the green, and then from about 100 yards, maybe a little less than that, chips in, and I remember hearing the pin rattle as he chipped in. That was one of the coolest things. Seve was around. You know, it was just such a cool moment. I think it was over Greg Norman.
Unfortunately, it was.
And it was just one of those moments where I was like, yes, you know, this guy came out of nowhere to win it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great one. You know, one that I think of, too, in recent history that, you know, kind of gets overlooked because he didn't end up winning the tournament. Do you remember the year that Angel Cabrera and Adam Scott went into the playoff? Well, Angel Cabrera on 18 was down by a shot because Adam Scott made that nice birdie putt on 18. And he's standing in the fairway with his son on the bag for him. And he hits a shot that lands, what, about a foot and a half to the hole for an easy little birdie there on 18 to push it to a playoff. That was a cool moment. See, father and son, you know, I was, you know, too young to really see Jack and Jackie when Nicholas won it 30 years ago. So that one was, to me, the first time that I really saw the father-son connection with the Masters. And it's kind of special, but unfortunately he didn't go on to win the tournament. So you don't really think about it that often.
You're right about that. And, you know, he's done well there, that's for sure. Another one for me, when you talk recent history, is the Pine Needles, Phil on 13. I know we have a different point of view on that, but to me, that shot is one that every golfer that's a recreational golfer has looked at, tried to hit, failed miserably, and he pulled that off and made it look just spectacular, and then winning in grand fashion.
Yeah, I remember sitting watching that shot, and you know, we were talking about it before we came on the air, and the thoughts that were going through my head were, this guy's an idiot. Well, he's going to lose the tournament here when, you know, he's got a lead. All he's got to do is, what, hit an 8-iron out and give himself a wedge into that green. He could easily make 4 and go from there. Now, it was a great shot. He missed the putt, so he made 4 anyway, but it's definitely one of those memorable moments, seeing him walk out of the trees, you know, give that fist pump, you know, both hands, and it's one that you think of, and when you walk down that area of the course, you look to see that shot and just how difficult it was.
Yeah, those really stand out. Now, speaking of Phil, I'm going to make the brilliant segue into what we call our top 8, I guess you would say. And the Dean, being that he is the Dean, has put together the 8 favorites. Do you want to read those off?
If I had them written down, sure, but let's go off the top of my head. They're the favorites, right? So we have Jordan Spieth, obviously defending champion. The number one golfer in the world, Jason Day. Is there anybody hotter on this planet than him on the course right now? He's won 2 straight. You have Adam Scott. If there is anyone hotter than Jason Day, it could be him. He's also got 2 wins coming from the Florida swing. We're going to put in Ricky Fowler. He's been playing well. He's been playing well in majors. We think he might take a big step forward this week. Man, is that? Is that 4? So we've got Bubba Watson, who wins it every other year.
Would you like me to finish these out for you?
Well, I'm going to see if I can keep doing it. Bubba Watson, who wins every other year. We're going to throw in Dustin Johnson. How many times can this guy get close to a major without having one fall on his lap? So this could be the year for him. He had a great finish last year for the Masters. I believe his best finish ever. We'll see if he makes that step forward. And I lost count. I think I'm at 6.
You're at 6. You're missing Phil Mickelson, who we were just talking about.
Yep.
And the guy who has been near the top.
Oh, Rory McIlroy.
Rory McIlroy.
So, guy going for the career Grand Slam.
Why don't we take each of these guys and kind of take a look at where they are? Or we can take them as a group. I'm going to leave it up to the Dean to decide.
I mean, we can, how much time you got, Josh? We can look at them all individually if you'd like.
I have all night with you, Dean.
Scary. Okay, so let's start with the number one golfer in the world then, don't we?
I think you do. Give us a little breakdown on his game.
We're going to go with Jason Day. If you don't know what he's been doing on a golf course lately, you must be living under a rock. Comes off a great win at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Really a dominant performance. And then carries that over to the match play out there in Houston, the Dell match play. And the big concern for Jason Day has to be the back. You know, he injured the back during the match play tournament. It didn't seem to bother him as he went on. But in the back of your mind, you got to think, God, if one bad swing, as we've seen with, you know, my guy Tiger Woods, one bad swing could ruin a whole week. So you got to hope that that doesn't happen to him. He's playing great golf, and I'd like to see him contend here.
Yeah, I mean, I think another concern with Jason Day is the fact that will he finish 18 holes before it gets dark? I love Jason Day, but he is the slowest golfer on the planet right now. And it is for another topic, but he's got to pick it up. The Masters is a different kind of tournament, and despite being number one, he will start hearing it. Let's move on the list. Rory McIlroy, give us your take.
Rory McIlroy, you know, he's been so close this year. He's been able to put together, you know, three good rounds and then have one round where he doesn't look like he knows what he's doing. Went with the cross-handed putter grip. It seemed to help a little bit for him. He needs to shore up the short game. He's a guy that can hit it far off the tee. He plays a nice high draw, things that you want for Augusta National. And, you know, the pressure for going for the Grand Slam, for the career Grand Slam, it might have got to him a little bit last year. This year, he's not doing the par three. He says he's going to focus more on the tournament itself. Maybe that pays off for him in a grand fashion.
Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth, what can you say? I mean, the guy's the defending champion from last year. He won the U.S. Open last year. The problem is those are all last year. His form has not been the greatest this year. He batted a little bit of a miss to the right in Houston. He already saw him today show up at Augusta National, had his coach come in with him. He's working on a few things. He just seems to be a little more frustrated out on the course this year. He's not making as many putts as he did last year. He's going to need to make those putts if he's going to contend.
Yeah, I'll chime in with Jordan. I think roughly half his rounds this year have been over par. The other half have been tremendous. He seemed to figure it out right at the end there last week. I think that this course is suited for him extremely well, so we'll see how he does. Adam Scott.
Adam Scott, you know, he has won here before. He's had some other high finishes here before. This is going to be his first time playing here in a while with a short putter. I know the short putter conversation, you know, should be gone by the wayside after the way he played in the Florida Swing. But the major pressure is a little bit different than, you know, winning at the Honda Classic. We'll see how he holds up under pressure. He's got the game for it. He's one of the best drivers of the golf ball in the world, something you have to do at Augusta.
Bubba Watson.
Bubba, every other year, right? I mean, the course is kind of made for him, isn't it? He's a left-handed. It kind of caters to left-handed now. You know, he can really swoop the ball and sling the ball all over the place. He's got the creativity that other golfers don't have.
Are those technical
terms? They are. They're in my dictionary. And that's all that matters. Bubba can contend here. He obviously has done it twice already, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him pick up green jacket number three.
Dustin Johnson.
DJ. You know, last year was his best finish ever at the Masters, tied for sixth. The year before he was cut. The year before that he was tied for 13th. So if we go by that pattern, he's going to get cut this year. But I don't know. You know, he's been playing fairly well this year. He's been putting a lot better. So maybe he could put it all together this week.
My thought on Dustin Johnson, not related to this, is it seems like his reaction never changes whether he makes a putt, misses it by a foot, you know, hits a bad shot or hits a good shot. It's almost like it's painful to be out there. And I think you have to have some of that a little more rocky, to go back to a movie reference, in you for Augusta National. Just my thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long week. To use the boxing analogy, you're going to take a lot of body shots out there, you know, in the majors and at the Masters alone. You know, you miss a slope by, you know, an inch, and the ball could be rolling back at you, you know, 30 yards back from where you thought you were going to be. So it's definitely a mental toughness that you need, and we'll see if he has it, and all these other guys if they have it.
Ricky Fowler.
Ricky Fowler, man. the you know, the talk of the young guns, he's the only one that hasn't won the major yet. You know, had a good year last year, won the Players' Championship, you know, finished 12th in the Masters last year, fifth the year before. He is trending in the right direction to become a major champion. This could be the week for him. Maybe he'll do it wearing some high tops, too. We'll see.
Yeah, he is, you know, it's funny, trending in the right direction. He was 5th and 12th, meaning it would be the wrong direction, but I know exactly what you're saying, and he has been right on the cusp for a while. And finally, Phil Mickelson.
Phil the Thrill. It's been a while since he's won, not just the Masters, but a tournament. It's been almost 3 years, but, you know, his game is probably better than it's been in 3 years. I don't have the stats in front of me, but, you know, he was up there in birdie average. He was up there in scoring average, and he obviously loves this golf course. You hear him talk about it. Once he pulls into Magnolia Lane, he feels rejuvenated. It doesn't matter what happened the week before or the month before or 6 months before with his game. He pulls down that driveway, he feels like he has a shot to win. So you can never count him out at the Masters.
Now, you know, let's take a look at a next group, I'll call it, of, you know, maybe they're the guys that are right there, but they're not talked about as much, but they're still kind of right there. And I'll give you six names, and we can kind of talk about them as a group rather than individually.
Okay.
You have former winner Charles Schwartzel, Hideki Matsuyama, who's always seems to be there in these big events,
mm-hmm.
Patrick Reed, Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson, and Big Louie. As a group, you know, any one of these guys could win any single week. Obviously, we know that. We have some major winners in this group. Who stands out? Who doesn't, you know, kind of fit this bill? Where do you think with this group that they're going to go?
I like Justin Rose out of that group the best. You know, take a look at his last five Masters, 11th, 8th, 25th, 14th, and a runner-up last year. He's got the total game. It's whether he puts it all together. You know, the other names you mentioned, Patrick Reed's been playing really well as of late, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him give a run at it as well.
Stenson, if his putter gets hot early, Patrick Reed could go very, very low here.
He could go very low. You know, Henrik Stenson's been playing well, almost got to a playoff last week. You know, he doesn't hit driver a whole lot. He hits a lot of those big three woods, so he's great off the tee. Like we've been saying, if you can get off the tee and you can hit a high draw, he can do that. You know, he can get around this course with no problem. For him, it always just seems to be like, you know, his putting goes away. And you hope that doesn't happen to him here. And the only other guy I want to say something about is Louis Oosthuizen. I don't know how he only has one major. His golf swing is so pretty to watch. And his ball striking is so good. It's amazing that he hasn't picked up a second one yet.
I look at Louis, and a few years back, I used to say he looked like Lee Westwood's mini-me. You know, they kind of looked similar. They don't anymore, but he kind of just looks similar, like he was Lee Westwood's mini-me. I agree with you. I don't know how he has only one. I still think his shot at Augusta was one of the best I'd seen in a long time, a couple years back. I think that whole group, including Matsuyama, who we didn't really touch on, could make a run at this. It'll really come down to, can they get off the blocks as quick? Because I don't see any of these guys coming from behind and posting really low, let's say, on moving day.
Yeah, and, you know, we saw that last year with Jordan Spieth. He got off the blocks really quick, and then he never slowed down. You kind of have to – now you have to guard against somebody doing that again. Not saying someone's going to go out there and shoot 18 under par, but, you know, these guys have good first rounds. They build confidence. They back it up with a second round, and then, you know, who knows where they go from there. So, you know, getting off to a quick start, it's important.
Yeah, I agree. And unlike most of the majors, I don't think the Masters has a round where you can put it into cruise control, as we saw last year. But we've seen that in the past. You know, you'll get passed on Sunday. Low rounds are out there for these guys a lot of times. We're seeing some big scores, some low scores go up in the last few years. I think you have to come out of the gates hot if you want to have a chance to come be around there on Sunday.
You know, and you say the low rounds are there. You know, they put these pins in some of these little bowls. So you see a lot of hole outs for eagles, a lot of balls really, you know, cozy up to the hole for nice tap-in birdies. You're right, the low rounds are there. That's what the Masters is about. The Masters is about birdies. You want to hear the roars through Augusta National. Seeing those close shots, those long good shots, those birdies, those eagles. That's what the Masters is for. So if you go out there and you're trying to shoot even par at a coast, you're probably going to get passed by.
So we've talked about some different people, favorites, maybe second tier. What kind of sleepers do you have? Who are you looking at that you're saying, this guy's going to make some noise and nobody's talking about him? I originally said they had to be outside of the top 40, but I think we scrapped that. Just players nobody's talking about.
I scrapped that. This guy people are talking about because of his recent performance. He's never played at the Masters before. It's Rafa Cabrera Bello. He's 33rd in the world. So, yes, he's inside that top 50. That's why we had to scrap it, because I cheated on this one. But it's going to be his first Masters for a chance to win. Nobody has won the first Masters since Fuzzy Zeller did it.
You know, Jordan Spieth talking came about the guy who's inside the top 35 and was – in the semifinals of the match play.
That's right. Nobody's talking about him winning. Nobody's talking about him winning the Masters.
You're right. You're right.
Nobody always talking about that, because first timers don't do it except for Fuzzy Zeller, you know. But he played well at Doral. He played really good at the match play. Backed it up again last week at Houston. You know, the big concern, we talked about it a few weeks ago, for me is the rounds of golf that the match play was. So he played in 7 rounds of golf at the match play, played in 4 last week in Houston, and now he's getting ready to play Augusta National for the first time. You have to hope that doesn't get him burnt out a little bit.
That's actually a pretty good sleeper. And you know, when we switched up the rules a little bit, I came in and I found some guys that some of them were even higher ranked. First, I was looking at Martin Keimer and thinking, you know, he's ranked 50th. He's got the game deep down inside for this tournament, but I just don't think this is the year. He struggled with the putter a bit. I'm going to throw out a name that always seems to be around at Augusta at least one of the days, and that's Kevin Na. I think he has a complete game for this tournament, and I think he makes some waves this week.
Yeah, Kevin Na's a good sleeper. I've got 2 more sleepers that I like, and these do, you know, follow the rules, if that's what you're making me do. One of them is going to be Hunter Mahan. You know, finished top 10 last year at the Masters.
He still plays golf?
He still plays golf. Nobody is talking about him because he's been playing really bad golf. But, you know, coming to a course that he knows, he's had some good finishes there, 3 top 10s. So I think Hunter Mahan could be a guy, could be a sleeper for this one. He is a sleeper, though, because don't expect him to win.
Another one that I have is obviously not following the rules based on ranking, and that's Danny Willett. First tournament, but he's got a complete game, and if the putter cooperates, he could go very low early. I don't think he has the nerves that a lot of players have, and he's played really good golf this year.
Yeah, Danny Willett's played some really good golf this year. It's a name that, you know, golf enthusiasts know, but people, you know, won't recognize him on the fringe. My other sleeper is going to be Ryan Moore. You know, he's been playing some good golf. He finished 10th at Northern Trust, 3rd at Valspar, and 5th in the match play. He had a top 15 at the Masters last year. He's a guy who has been there before. I think he could be a sleeper for this tournament.
That's an interesting one. He seems to pop up in spots, and he's popped up recently. That leaves us with only one thing. I actually like your sleepers. I think they'll do well. But there's only one thing left to do. We need to pick some favorites. We need to put our picks on the line, so to speak, and let the world know what we think. So give me one player. We're going to do 2 picks each, but give me one player first that you think could win this thing.
Okay, the first player I'm going to go with is Justin Rose. I really like the way that he's been playing lately. I like the trend that he's been having at Augusta National. I think Justin Rose is in for a big week and could be slipping on that green jacket.
You're going to love my pick as I go chalk on you, and I think we're going to see the completion of the Grand Slam. I think Rory wins this week. He's been working hard on his game and tweaking little things here and there to get it there. If he cares a little, if he puts the workout routine aside for a week and focuses on the golf game, and he drives the ball early in the tournament, so Thursday morning, look to see how he's driving the ball. If he's driving the ball well, I think he's got a chance to run away with this.
It's interesting. For a second, I thought I was co-hosting this show with Brandel Chambly talking about, you know, Rory's workout routines. I do agree with you on Rory's game, though. Look for him, how he's driving the ball, getting off the tee, and how he's you know, putting, because that's going to be a big thing for him, as it is for everybody. The other guy I'm going to go with, and, you know, since you went chalk, I might as well go chalk. I'm going to go Bubba Watson. Like I said, every other year.
You're stealing my pick.
Well, you decided to do it alternate instead of just blurring 2 out at a time. So I'm going to go with Bubba Watson. I steal in your pick, Bubba Watson, 3rd Masters in 5 years. It's going to happen.
I actually tend to agree with you, but because you picked Bubba Watson and I don't want to be like you, I kind of do, but I'm going to pick somebody different. You know, I had a list down. I had Mickelson on the list because I think he really could, the way he's playing and the more importantly, the way he's been putting the last couple weeks and working on putts and moving the ball, that he could win, but I'm not going to take him. I'm actually going to go a little outside the box, and I'm going to go with Henrik Stenson. Ball striking wise, he might be the best on tour right now. He's hitting that fairway wood off the tee incredibly well, and he has the length where his fairway, his three wood is longer than half the field's drivers. He hits the nice high ball that is necessary here, and the three wood will be a big help. And the putter has been very, very hot. If he can keep it hot, he could win this thing this week.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Like we said when we talked about the second crop of guys, you know, Stenson and Rose were both in that group. We're not surprised to see two of those as our picks.
There you have it, gang. Another episode of The Dean Has Spoken is in the books. You can join us on the THP forum to discuss and debate everything we talked about here. And of course, follow along on Twitter at THP Golf and at Dean of THP. Don't forget to head over to iTunes and subscribe to The Hacker's Paradise so you never miss a new episode of The Dean Has Spoken, The Golf Industry Uncut, or any of the other THP radio shows. Don't forget to leave us a review with your thoughts right in iTunes and let us know if you agree with the Dean here, or me. We know you agree with me. We love the engagement and we want to know if you agree with him or not. So for myself and of course Dean, we hope you enjoyed this new episode of The Dean Has Spoken. So long, everybody.